everybody. Thank you. May our next speaker please have your undivided attention. I'd like to welcome Michael Paskevicius. Yes, he said I must just think of a vicious person, and I can say vicious. Well, Michael will introduce. I think I can refer to it just-in-time training tool. Many of us are in this online business now, but sometimes there are people that want to learn on the own. And sometimes we have to give them tools where they can learn on the own. So this is just one. And I'd like the Michael and the other speakers also. Some of our colleagues are asking, yes, this is good and well, but some of the realities in the higher education, how are you dealing also with changing some of the mindsets? You know, we're dealing with professors that are 20 years in the business or 25. And when you approach them, they say, I've been doing this for 25 years. Why should I use this? So bring that across as well. Please, Michael. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So thanks for having me. I was supposed to do this by Adobe, and I'm much more happy to be in the room with you guys. It's an honor. And the name is Lithuanian, but I'm from Canada. And I've been living in Southern Africa for about 6 years now. And I'm studying at UCT with Cheryl and Dick, masters. So I'm going to talk to you about screencast. Dick talked about podcasting. Screencasting is with a video element. So it's recording an instructional media artifact with a video and an audio element to it. So it's basically, in its simplest form, a recording of a computer screen. You can basically imagine your desktop as the stage, and you are the voice which will narrate over top. So it's good for showing changes in your screen over time, particularly useful to demonstrate a piece of software or to how to work with a file on the desktop. There's other ways that they can be used as well. I'll show you a few examples in a minute. So it's often quite useful to show how a tricky process can be done. And what we found in some of the part-time work that I've been doing is we kept getting the same question over and over and over again. And rather than having to explain it over and over again, we thought we'd create an instructional media artifact that people could just access whenever they needed to. So this issue that was presented to us, we work around open educational resources, and we try to encourage academics to license their instructional resources with Creative Commons. Does everybody know Creative Commons? Creative Commons is sort of like an we're going to talk about it later, but it's an alternative licensing mechanism which you can use on your digital resources. And it helps resources get shared and reused. So we were trying to encourage academics to use this, but they said, how do I do it? Do I have to call the license bureau? Do I have to get a license plate? And we said, no, it's so easy. All you have to do is copy the little image onto your digital file. Dead easy. But we kept having to explain it. So we decided to create a video to describe it. I'll just show you the process, and this is what I would normally have to show someone if they said, how do I license my material? I'd say, well, you got to go to this website. It's online, and it's creativecommons.org, and then you have to make some choices about what sort of stipulations you want in your license, and then you get this page that gives you the little badge, and maybe you've seen that badge. That's a Creative Commons license. So basically, all you need to do is copy that into your PowerPoint file or your Word document, and you've licensed under Creative Commons. But the problem was people just couldn't make that leap. They thought still that, you know, this code is a bit confusing. And in fact, if you want to put this on offline work, you have to actually click over here in this section. It's a little tiny text here. It's not very clear at all. So if your document's not on the web, you actually need to click there. And then you get this little pop-up. And then this is the text you can actually copy with the image. So it became quite trying to try to explain this to everyone. So I'm going to show you the screencast we created to address this instructional problem. I'm not going to show it all to you in the interest of time, because I want to show you a couple other really good examples. So it's a video file.
We're going to go through the process of selecting a Creative Commons license and including that license on the document we wish to share. I'm going to start off by navigating to the website, and that can be yes or no. I'm going to select yes in this case. Do you wish to allow modifications of your work? You could say yes. Now, this code is built for web pages. It's an HTML code which displays the...
So basically, I'm talking to my screen while I'm recording the screen and capturing that all in a video file, which can then be distributed, can be put on YouTube, can be put anywhere on the web. So actually, this video is on YouTube, and it became quite popular around the world. It was actually translated into Czechoslovakian and German and French, so people put subtitles on it. So it's actually finding use outside of even the context with which we created it for, which was really quite interesting. Some other examples, like Microsoft has a series of...
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to today's MSDN webcast entitled Using SQL Server.
They have it for just about any product that they offer. And now what they do is they usually run PowerPoint presentations, and they speak to the PowerPoint presentation just like you would in your class while recording. And then they can jump over to an application and show how it works. So there's sort of jumping around using the desktop as a set to do all this sorts of stuff. Then there's the Khan Academy. How many people have heard of Khan? Salman Khan? Doing very interesting things. He's created a video for nearly, he's trying to address all issues around math, calculus, probability, statistics. He's got science, biology, chemistry. He's got a huge database, like 3,000 videos, which are about 5 minutes long, which demonstrate, help students work through calculus, etc. I'll show you a quick example, because the way Khan does it is he uses something like Microsoft Paint, and he uses the paint as a chalkboard.
A bit of a classic implicit Z equation. I get the natural log of y is equal to x times the natural log of x. And now we can take the derivative of both sides of this with tools.
And it gets really boring.
So the more difficult problem we're going to deal with is this one.
But you can see, if you're a student and you're struggling with algebra, having a video like this, which you could stop and rewind and listen to again, could be really useful to supplement the class time, the discussion. It could be a nice artifact to reference. And then you can find screencasts if you search on Google for specific things. If you work with Moodle, you can find screencasts on how to set up Moodle, find screencasts on how to make a screencast. You can probably find a screencast to do just about anything. So there's lots of resources coming up. And screencast is sort of the word that people are applying to this capturing of your screen with audio. Yeah, we've just done a few screencasts, but I just had some tips. I'm by no means an expert, but I find it's really nice to be very conversational. If you make a mistake, just keep going. You know, we're human. A lot of people strive for perfection. They do like 20 takes, but most of the screencasts I did, I just went in, I just did it. You know, I went and ah, but I just left it in there. You know, can be improved if got more time. And then sort of know your audience, know what sort of language and terminology they're going to be familiar with. And I find it quite nice to be able to emphasize parts of your screen. So I could select some text and say, I'm talking here, or use the mouse to point to something. And some of the screencasting recording things have, you know, they can really draw attention. Some of the software has got some really advanced stuff. But I'm only showing you open source stuff, so you can start with this as soon as possible. And then use a microphone. Try to avoid unavoidable noise. I've got an example of this. Don't do this.
Hello, this is a screencast on KPAX, the Web2Py content management system. So first you download Web2Py.
So what's happening here is the gentleman has a very noisy chair. And that continues for the entire screencast. Very distracting. So those things can easily be avoided, and just to be considerate of those things. And then, of course, don't be shy. Just dive in and see what you can contribute in terms of a video. Could go viral. Microphone, you guys are probably all familiar with this sort of technology, which is widely available. And then a few freely available software options. I think JP was, you were demonstrating an online tool?
Yes, Google Forms.
Was it for screencasting?
Screener.
Okay. So I haven't used any of those online ones, but I want to try them. These ones don't require an internet connection, so this is, you can do it that way, or there's multiple ways you can do this. These can be downloaded, and these are only for Microsoft. So my Mac friends, I don't have any good news for you. Mac, I haven't seen an open source, freely available screencasting piece of software. No? You've looked. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on there. But most people have PCs, or at least they have access to a PC. Once you do it, you record the thing, it can be played on a Mac or a PC or anything. So these two programs you can get. They're very small. They're very lightweight. That's what I like about them. They don't take up a lot of resources. The one I particularly use is called CamStudio. You might have heard of Camtasia. Camtasia is a very expensive version of this or piece of software that will do this, and it has all kinds of bells and whistles. So if you've got the money, by all means, go buy it. This one is free, and it does very simple stuff. And it basically looks like that once you launch it. It's just a little application. And when you're ready to record your screen, you just hit the red button. Just begin recording. Then there's a few things to just sort of set up before you do your first recording. So I'll leave this for you if you choose to go and try this. These are some things that you'll just want to make sure. You set the region. You can set it for just a window or for the entire desktop. So you need to set that up. And then you have to make sure that it's recording the audio from the microphone if you're using one. So once you're ready to go, you've got your instructional issue that you want to speak to on your screen. Make sure you set up your desktop. Make sure you've got all the applications that you're going to need at hand so you can quickly get to them. Sometimes it's nice to have a PowerPoint running at the same time so you've got some text that you can sort of jump back and forth to. So then once you're ready to go, you press record. You minimize that little window, and you're recording your screen. The audio is being recorded. You're live. So yeah, you just have to sort of jump in and experiment with that. Once you're done, you press stop, and then it'll ask you where do you want to save your file. And then you've got your video file. Problem with the video files is that they're quite big. Some of the commercial expensive software options have compression that you can apply. These cheaper options don't have that. So you've got to be clever. Just a few examples. These file sizes were, you know, one was 200 megabytes, the other one was 16 megabytes. With video, it depends a lot on the color that you're using, how much color, how quickly things change. But the file sizes are difficult, and we need to get these to our students, right? So that's a problem. One option is to put it onto YouTube. Now, putting it on YouTube not only makes it available through the web, the other thing that a lot of people don't realize is once you put a video on YouTube, you can download it in a very nicely compressed format. MP4. So you can put it any type of video file, any size, and then as long as you uploaded it, you can download it in a very small package. So I found that really useful. Sorry? I'm not sure. I think they increased it to 15 or something. Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, there are time definite. I think most screencasts I've seen are quite short. They're quite compact. But yeah, that's definitely an issue. If you have to go with other compression options, this is an open source compression engine. It's quite complex, but I've provided links to all this stuff. So you could compress it in this on your desktop, no matter the length. But it does get a bit complex. Dealing with video is tricky. So then I've just provided some other references for you to look at if you're interested in taking this forward. And then my contact details if you're needing to get in touch. And that's it. Any questions, please?
Can you edit them, or is it just go and finish, and that's it?
If you want to edit, you're adding an extra step. which I haven't talked about at all. You'll need a video editing, you need something to edit video with. Okay. Dick showed us Audacity, that's for audio. Yeah. You need something similar for video. Open source, freely available? Not really. Movie Maker is an excellent option.
Just another thing, I found to compress the video to cell phone size and so forth, you get a freeware software program called AmiVideo Video Converter, which you can, there's at least 15 different formats,
okay.
And you can actually, what I did, I recorded the video and then I just choose the mobile option, and then it converts it to a one that would play,
for instance.
But you have MP4, AVI, MPG.
Cool.
It's a very nice program.
There's another free program called Format Factory that also does the same.
Okay.
And it's also a brilliant program. But I must say, these big AVIs, they battle to go down very, very... Mm-hmm.
I would suggest, if you have some good software or good website to recommend to people, just check the wiki page. You know, if yours would fit well with the screencast wiki page, and just add those links and the further resources. So we can share all of these tips amongst each other.
Can you, once you've loaded something, you've thought of it, if you've loaded something onto YouTube, can you then delete it off there as well?
You surely can.
So if you've loaded it up to be able to download it and compress it, and you want to then delete it after a certain time?
No one can download through YouTube except you. There are programs for ripping files from YouTube, and you can't control that. But you can, I believe you can remove a file from YouTube once you've put it up. You can also, when you put it up, not make it public, only make it accessible via a URL, which you can then distribute to the people who needs it.
Right, I know the focus is on the open source side, and I think it's great because it gives us tools we can use. But the Camtasia Studio, I can just say from my own experience, it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. And there are educational licenses, so what is expensive? I think you can buy it for $100, about $700-800. But you have a tool that's useful not only for podcasting, but for a lot of other things. And also you can buy packs of files. If you're a department or a faculty, you know, you could get even, you know, I mean, then you sort it, I think. That's just my personal opinion.
Isn't there editing tool
into that program? Yeah, then it's everything. You record, and you edit, and you publish, and you compress, and there's all these outputs, etc., etc., etc.
Once you record part of the screen, can you change it the way you want? Because I think at the beginning you said that you can capture part of the screen, or either the part of the screen or the full screen. Can you interchange between the two?
Not with this tool that I've showed you. It's not handled. You set it up before you begin, and then you run with that.
So you can't go, going if you have the full screen, then go to a particular part of it if you want to zoom into it.
Yeah, I think the Cam Studio, it's a Camtasia, you can zoom into certain elements. So it's quite advanced. This one is very rudimentary. It takes your screen, that's your set. But it's free and you can download it for 2 megs.
I just want to make a comment. You all have students who are at certain levels. So you have students who are very basic and more advanced students who sometimes ask you questions that are not covered in the syllabus. And I find that this is a great tool to actually deal with those students. So you can have additional screencasts for more advanced concepts, and it gives them an opportunity to go and look at that and actually learn whatever they want to learn. So they become self-directed learners and all.
Yeah, that's what Khan Academy is trying to do. And I urge you all to look at Khan Academy because they're doing really interesting things. There's faults, but it's definitely worth looking at.
I just want to know, on Khan, I've tried to replicate what that guy was doing there. I'm struggling to write with a mouse, and then I got a digital pen, but I still couldn't write. I tried in Paint. But I couldn't write straight. I couldn't form my letters. It went all over the show. Is there
a... Get a tablet.
Yeah, Khan started with a tablet. These Wacom tablets.
Okay, yeah, okay, that's
and I don't know what he's using now. He's got a lot of money now.
Well, I want to know, JP, if you're there about the campaign with these educational licenses. Yeah. Would the institution's library be able to get them, or does it have to be a specific department of education?
It's linked to individuals, so it must be reported. I mean, Stellenbosch has also the Camtasia relay available, which is free for everybody. So there are two options, but if you want to do the in-depth video expression, etc.
I know that this is the eye software, like some of the analysis of the department has, and then they share it.
Some departments have it on one computer that they use when they want to use it, because you don't use it every day. Mm. And that might be a good option. Buy one for the department that you use for capturing lectures or maybe doing a quick learning activity with it.
And just lastly, if I could say to the question you posed initially, how do we convince academics to start using this? Just tell them that they probably all have that question their students constantly, year on year, come to them with. And if they could sort of capture that in a media artifact so that they wouldn't have to address that question over and over again, maybe some of them will start looking at this as an option.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Vic.
Michael, can you make that powerful director on our check?
Certainly.
While JP's setting up, JP's going to speak to us about learning management systems and personal learning environments. In higher education in South Africa and globally, we know that most of our lecturers are still working within learning management platforms. People still work